From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of March 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a little bit later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, China has a new plan to move more people into urban areas. President Obama has a plan to put financial pressure on 7 Russian government officials and some others. And here at home, the price of U.S. ethanol has been on the upswing. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the program. Also, a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois, on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. Nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat in the May at 674.5, down 12.75. July, the harvest month, down 12 cents at $6.78.25. The hard red finished July at 738.5, down 7.25 cents. March corn futures were down 7 at $4.79. July at 484, down 6.5. And September corn 6 cents lower at 482.5. December 482 as well. That down 5.85 and a quarter, that is. And the March contract at $4.90 and a quarter, down a nickel. July of next year at $4.98 and a half, down 5 cents. May soybeans, $13.91 and three quarters, 3 and a quarter lower. July at $13.75 and a quarter, down 3.5. That's up 3.5, rather. August at $13.36 and a half, up 3 and a quarter. And September at $12.34 and a half, 2 and a quarter higher. November beans, $11.75 and three quarters, up a penny and a quarter. January, it's $11.79 and three quarters, up 1 and 1/2 cents. I think I told you the May beans were down. They were actually up 3 and a quarter. And again, $13.91 and three quarters. Bean meal now, $4.46.60, up 2.60. Bean oil at $41.89. That finished down 40 cents. Live cattle futures in the April at $1.45 and 2.5 cents. That's 22.5 lower. June up 12.5 at $137.97 and a half. March feeders at $174.75, up 15 cents. And April at $177.97 and a half, up 75. Lean hogs finished the April $121.70, $2.40 higher. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. April contract $98.04, down 85 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.88 and 4 tenths, 7 5/10 of a cent lower. Ethanol futures at $2.44 and a half, down 2 2/10. And the difference between the two, or the spread, is 5 3/10 of a cent narrower than it was on Friday afternoon, now at 43 9/10 of a cent. Natural gas at $4.51 and 7 tenths, up 9 2/10. And diesel fuel for the day at $2.89 and a half, 4 8/10 of a cent lower. Gold futures $1,372.90 a troy ounce, down $6.10. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies and a high near 40 degrees for the afternoon on a south-southeast wind at about 6 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 29. Tuesday, sunny and 59. It'll be breezy, a south-southeast wind at 9 to 14 miles an hour. That'll increase 17 to 22 in the afternoon. Winds could tomorrow gust as high as 31 degrees as we look ahead to Wednesday, partly sunny skies and 48. Thursday, sunny and 54. And Friday, a chance of rain, partly sunny and a high near 60. Friday night, by the way, a partly cloudy evening, a low of 35. Saturday, sunny skies and 48. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy and 28. On Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 45 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy, or rather at Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois, about the weather forecast. That comes up at the bottom of this half hour here on Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report on this 17th day of March 2014. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Do you have your Irish green on today?
I do not.
Uh-oh. Well, have Pete pinch you a little bit.
Yeah, I got up before the sun came up and kind of forgot about it.
Oh, that's the way it happens. Tell me what happened in the marketplace.
Well, neither the bull nor the bear was enjoying green beer today, I don't think. I believe it kind of a mixed bag of news, mixed bag of trade. Kind of feels like we're seeing some consolidation. Trade is eager to await and see the numbers here at the end of the month, the acreage estimates, the quarterly grain stocks report, and probably the hidden one of all would be the quarterly hog and pig report
to see
where we are with numbers there. But, you know, news same as usual from last week. You know, eyes are watching Russia and the Ukraine area. Eyes are watching the domestic weather maps here on a hint of how soon the planting progress will start to move more north out of that Texas and southern region. And just kind of waiting for the next news item to give the market some reason to take out the highs we made last week or the lows we made last week, Todd.
I suspect you've been searching that news item out. Anything out there that tickles your fancy in terms of what it might be?
Well, I think we're going to be a stalemate here and look forward towards the numbers at the end of the month. I think that's going to be the next catalyst. As far as weather goes, the 30-day forecast came out and it suggests more cold weather as we move into the middle of April. There is some signs that maybe we get in that last part of April here, we could warm up some. But for the most part, planting progress is taking place in the south. We're about 2 weeks behind. There is some corn coming up through the ground in portions of Texas, southern Texas. And we'll see how fast that moves north in through here. A little bit more optimism in the countryside. This rally we've seen since right after the January crop report is kind of doom and gloom there. But now with these higher prices in here, there's a lot more optimism than what we saw first part of January there, Todd.
Can you talk to me a little bit about PEDV, the impact it has had both on the hog market and what we can expect out of the grain stocks report at the end of the month because of it, if anything?
Well, the main thing is we saw early estimates of anywhere from 4 to 6% loss. Now I've seen estimates as high as maybe as 20% loss in the pig crop, for say. I don't know if we're really going to get a real handle on this March report. We'll see how aggressive they get. The overall virus has been around. It was kind of held in check during the summer, picked up during the fall, but really kicked in after the first of the year when the weather cooled down. It's really disheartening for the hog producer. Here they have a sow that puts out some real nice pigs. If it's infected, it's a matter of 3 or 4 days. 5 days later, they just plain shrivel up, is the way I understand it. And that's just a tough one to swallow, especially with these profitable levels. The trade's very serious about it. The hog market's just plain skyrocketed here over the last few weeks. We have the June hogs trading at this 130, well, near 131 level. And we got that June cattle trading at 138. And this is kind of a historic here as, never before have we seen something like this take place. And we've got the market probably in a position here where we're going to see these hogs almost trade as much as cattle did. If you convert that cash news, if you take that 130, 131, convert to cash, we're trading about 97 cent cash hogs.
It is going to create a problem potentially for retailers when they try to price out pork at the meat counter, I would think.
When you're still looking at the price of ribeye versus center cut pork loins on sale, there's still a wide spread there. But over time and through here, we feel that gap's going to narrow significantly. So if you're one that likes butterfly pork chops, I would suggest maybe getting those bought and put in the freezer here for this summertime.
Mm-hmm. Time to buy the whole loin and cut her up and put her away in the freezer, I suppose. Turn your attention to a place that has been cold and is now starting to warm up like we are. That would be in the northern hemisphere, Ukraine. The Crimea, of course, has voted, and they said, yes, we would like to be with Russia. And now we have to wait and see what Russia does. The United States is trying to put some pressure on politicians and a few others by freezing their assets. What concerns do we have?
Okay. One thing I failed to mention, right now the trade's looking at 50 to 75 million bushel reduction in feed demand due to the virus now. That probably will go higher as we move along.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
As far as Russia goes, I don't want to say a whole lot because I don't want to drive home and see an unmarked utility truck at the end of my street there. So that being mentioned, be careful when you go home. A lot of words thrown around. The sanctions, per se, nothing new. Russia seems to be two, three, four, five steps ahead of the U.S. here. A lot of things were transferred into other names. Ahead of this, we'll see how this unfolds. Kind of stepping back and looking at the big picture here, we've been the ones with the white hats moving into these countries and have them have elections and kind of do what they want. And basically, when you look back at what's taken place here, yeah, Russia moved into there, but they had an election and their majority's Russian and they had a large turnout and they've had a large vote all one way, so I don't know what you could really do to change that kind of movement right at the moment and through here. We'll see how things unfold. I think it's the best interest on both sides that grain will continue to move out of that region. The thing we have to watch real close is the producers in that Ukraine area. There's ideas that things do get tight. 20% of the production in that region could be at risk if things do get nasty, Todd.
And that would be because it's in the north and eastern part of Russia or of Ukraine, or why would that be the reason? Do you know?
Well, from financing, from takeover,
right,
several different things. When you
inability to capture.
Correct. That's our best estimate now, but as we move along and through here, I don't think they want to do anything to jeopardize having income or having the ability to move grain out of that region.
And at this point, we know that the grain has been able to move, and it doesn't seem to have been impacted very much, although I did take a quick look, and it seems to me that there may be six or seven grain export elevators along the Black Sea that belong either in Crimea, just one, and then another six that belong in Ukraine, and those seem to be operating, at least those in Ukraine. Yeah, at capacity at this point.
According to our cash grain connections, business as usual. In fact, they kind of push things a little forward here, speed things up in case things turn sour. And right now they're in the midst of the corn export season, for say. The wheat's pretty well been shipped. The corn's been the big one. China, in fact, came in and bought some more corn out of that region, sort of bypassing us, and we continue to see them move away from our corn to some other GMO-free countries.
All right. Thanks so much.
Very good.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. By the way, if you'd like to get a look at where those export terminals are along the Black Sea for Ukraine and the Crimea, you can visit our website at willag.org. I made a Google map, posted there. That up there, you can see a hard map of it there. But if you hit the link, you can go to the Google map and take a look at the satellite, and just zoom in on any of the little red dots that point out where the terminals are. Kind of guessed at it, but it's pretty easy to pick out a grain terminal. I think I probably got most of them right. It's all at willag.org. Now, here's your director of ag programming with a look at today's agricultural news, David Dickey.
China's cabinet today says that China will build more railways and increase the number of small and medium-sized cities as it seeks to raise the proportion of urban residents in the population. At present, permanent urban residents in China make up 53.7% of the population of almost 1.4 billion people. China plans to raise this to 60% of the total population by 2020. The plans are contained in a 2014-2020 urbanization document unveiled Sunday by the State Council, China's cabinet. The plan says China's rural residents employed in cities will see their incomes rise, increasing consumption, while investment in urban infrastructure, public service facilities, and housing will drive economic development. President Barack Obama is imposing sanctions against Russian officials after Crimea's vote to secede from Ukraine. President Obama's executive order issued today names seven Russian government officials. The U.S. also says it has identified and targeted the assets of other individuals who are not government officials but are supporting them. The Treasury Department also is imposing sanctions on four Ukrainians. The U.S. announcement came shortly after the European Union announced travel bans and asset freezes on 21 people. The sanctions came hours after Crimea's parliament declared the region an independent state, following its residents' overwhelming vote Sunday to break away from Ukraine and seek to join Russia. The 28-nation EU and the U.S. say Sunday's Crimean referendum was illegitimate and unconstitutional. However, Moscow considers the vote legitimate, and Russian President Putin will address both houses of parliament Tuesday on the Crimean situation. U.S. ethanol prices are surging as supplies shrank amid transportation constraints. Ethanol for delivery in April rose 6.9% last week to $2.46 a gallon, the highest settlement since December 4th. Prices are up 40% from a low of $1.75 a gallon reached on January the 27th. A bitterly cold winter and rising crude oil shipments have caused railway traffic to back up in the Midwest. The snarl is preventing the biofuel from reaching the coasts, where refiners mix it with gasoline or it is exported. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Now, up next, the hog herd right here in the United States is under attack from a virus that kills baby pigs. It's spreading, and as you'll hear in a moment, it's unclear at this point just how dramatic the wintertime losses might have been from November to March from PEDV. It appears about 2% of the pig crop was lost last fall. It's a starting point for figuring what the wintertime losses might have been due to PEDV. It's a disease that kills piglets and may be more deadly in the winter months, says Purdue University Extension ag economist Chris Hurt.
So the losses of baby pigs could be higher than that 2% during the period from November 13 through March of 2014. Again, no one knows the impact on a national basis, but lean hog futures participants certainly may be expecting losses, as we said, of 7 to 10%. If the actual impact is closer to 3 to 4%, as I would guess, then futures prices may ultimately have to adjust lower for this March to July time period.
PEDV, says Hurt, has produced even greater uncertainties for the spring crop and hog prices.
Of course, all great uncertainties eventually get resolved, and that is resolved in the marketplace. For the hog market, this uncertainty of what slaughter supplies will be in the March to July period is going to be resolved as we see the actual numbers of slaughter hogs that come to market from March through July this year.
So resolution is on the horizon for the price of hogs. However, the survival of hog operations, trying to find a safe financial path through dramatic death losses, well, that one's a trickier calculation.
Our initial answer to that may be somewhat surprising. We think PED will likely increase the economic returns for the U.S. industry if those returns are measured across the entire industry. Well, why is that? It turns out the demand for pork is relatively inelastic, and that's just an economic term that means that when there are short supplies, consumers are slow to adjust their consumption downward. Thus, prices will tend to move upward by at least 2% for each 1% that the quantity of pork drops.
Let me repeat that ratio. The price of pork increases by 2% for each 1% drop in the quantity of available pork. Consequently, revenue, averaged across the industry, is likely to go up rather than down because of the impact of the virus. Still, there will be winners and losers in that range. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise. Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon, the 17th day of March. On the phone line with us, Brian Stark at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, producers have been calling and asking what questions of the elevator today.
Oh, I think obviously the choppy nature of the corn market has been at the top of the forum trying to figure out the overall direction. And I think the trade obviously right now is seen some appreciation and is looking forward to the big acreage and quarterly stocks report here at the end of the month. So I expect the choppy nature to continue as we move forward.
When you say big, you mean in terms of importance and not in necessarily in size, but I suppose both could be there.
I suppose both could be there, and I would say of importance first. And obviously, the stocks number is going to be probably the bigger one in our eyes, given the animal units being relatively flat, given the first quarter feed consumption pace. So that one's the biggie. Obviously, the acreage pie was a little small when we look at the outlook for them, so that's important as well. But nonetheless, a major report.
How many bushels extra do you think could be put back into the marketplace based on animal units?
Well, I think if you look at the animal units, for me, you could see anywhere from 100 to 200 million added back into the corn carryout based on what we see for animal numbers. And that wouldn't surprise me. The carryout could grow back towards 1.6, 1.7, I suppose. Obviously, a lot of that will have to do with if there's increased export or ethanol usage, with ethanol margins being outstanding right now.
And to be clear, your number would not consider anything that would have to do with PEDV then?
No, I think obviously that could really impact and potentially put stock back in, given the hog struggles with PED. And obviously, it's not slowing down as we move forward. If you look at a lean hog chart, which I am not an expert, but I did the other day, and the numbers are just historical as far as the rise.
Yeah, very quickly, your bids for the day.
465 cash corn, new crop corn 457, old beans 1402, and new crop 14 beans 1156.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Back in two.
It's National Green Beer Day. The holiday is thought to have begun in the early 1940s on the campus of Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, during a time when the U.S. was experiencing grain shortages during World War II. Bars and restaurants in Oxford today opened as early as 4:30 a.m. to serve green eggs and ham and green bagels to hungry students. It's also St. Patrick's Day in honor of Ireland's patron saint. Celebration of St. Patrick began in 1737 among Irish immigrants to the U.S., where the first St. Patrick's Day parade was held in Boston,
organized by the Charitable Irish Society. It's also St. Gertrude Day. She is known as the patron of gardeners. On this day in agricultural history in 1751, Anders Dahl was born, a renowned Swedish botanist. The dahlia flower was named for him. In 1834, Gottlieb Wilhelm Daimler was born. He invented the first high-speed combustion engine in 1883. 2 years later, he added a carburetor and built what some say was the world's first motorbike. He followed that up in 1886 with the construction of a four-wheeled automobile capable of a speed of 11 miles per hour. And in 1845, Englishman Steve Perry received a patent for the rubber band. It was made from vulcanized rubber, but the idea originated with Thomas Hancock, who around 1820 sliced up a bottle made out of the tree milk of the Southern American rubber tree. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
On this Monday, let's check now the weather forecast. Mark Russo is with us. He's with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about the weather forecast. I'd like to see, as we get through the end of winter and into spring, a change in the cast to something a bit warmer.
As you can tell, I'm kind of chuckling and probably getting some angry feedback on account of that. Fortunately, I wish I had better news for you, Todd. While temperatures, at least over the next couple of days now, will be a bit more seasonal here during these last few days of official winter, but unfortunately, it does look like a colder than normal pattern will return, especially by the end of this week, and that looks to continue through all of next week. In fact, starting again late this week and basically through the end of the month, it looks like a colder than normal pattern here sets up again across the middle of the country, and for that matter, the eastern parts of the country as well. Mm-hmm. So with that, we'll be below normal temperatures. And again, this starts more so the latter part of this week.
No warm up in soil temps for planting season. How are we doing in Texas and in the Delta and the far south at this point?
Well, across the Delta and the Southeast, they've been getting significant rainfall, and that's been one of your wetter areas here of late. So from a soil moisture standpoint, as we start the planting activities across the Deep South, they're actually in pretty good shape. Area, though, that is lacking precip is portions of western Texas and then portions of western Oklahoma into southwestern Kansas. And that does include the Plains, Hard Red Winter Wheat Belt. Those areas have seen below normal precip not only recently, but over much of the winter. And those are the areas where soil moisture reserves are low.
We should be in the midst of full bore harvest in large parts of South America. How are their progress looking for the next week?
Yeah, overall, not too bad across areas of Brazil and Argentina. Argentina now is turning drier following some heavy rainfall this past weekend, so that will improve harvest progress there. We do see a resurgence of rainfall in areas of Mato Grosso down into southeastern Brazil during the final 7 days of the month, which will likely cause some disruptions in harvest progress, but we do see improvement into the early part of April. So any disruptions look pretty minor in nature.
Any other growing regions across the planet we need to be keeping tabs on at the moment?
Yeah, Indonesia, Malaysia has been very dry during the past couple of months and beginning to see concern for their palm crop. It does look like the pattern is changing, at least through the remainder of March. It looks like a pattern that will feature more kind of typical or seasonal rainfall totals across Indonesia, Malaysia. So that is helping to improve soil moisture for their palm production.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always find it in about, 15, 20 minutes or so up on our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG. bateskills.org.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.